Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 12. Madhya Lila, chapter 12. The cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Okay. So page 65. After serving the Bhattacharya with first-class prasadam, Gopinath Acharya said, "Just consider what the Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior was. Just consider how at present he is enjoying transcendental bliss." Srila Prabhupada, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was previously a smarta brahmana, that is, one who strictly follows the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. On the mundane platform, one cannot believe that prasadam is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. Right? They'll see these things as pious activities, but they can't understand they're transcendental. Because for them, transcendental is what's beyond. And anything that can be conceived of and all that, that's within. So, they're, you know, the big, basically, smartas are impersonalists.
It's interesting that they actually use all the terminologies. You know, among this, there's also prasadam.
Yeah, yeah, well, because it's standard, because it's the Vedic. So they're very strict about following the Vedic culture and all the rules and regulations. But their point is the better you follow the rules and regulations, the better results you'll get. And so they're all about getting the results. So you know, when they're younger, they do the results for the karma. When they're older, they do the results for gyan. You know, because they're too old to do the karma stuff. And it's what the Shastra says. So, you know, when you get older, you take vanaprastha, you take sannyas, you do these things. So they do these. But their idea then will either be, depending upon their position, that it's, the whole thing is for karma, or the whole thing's for liberation. So they don't believe that anything's beyond the rules. If you're not following the rules, you're not getting the results. They don't see how it can work. They don't understand the transcendental nature of these activities. That's why you have that Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama Pramani Lakshmi. Yes. They don't understand this. Means, you know, yeah.
Maharaj, last year, one of the lectures you gave, I asked you a question about, I think it was the 10th canto, talking about Kamsa. And I asked you about liberation. You said there are different types of liberation. Like demons get liberation, but then they get to go to Vaikuntha.
Yes.
They get Sarupya, Samipya, Shasti.
Depends upon their position. Like, I think Prabhupada mentions all those on the battlefield, because they died seeing Krishna, they all got Sarupya.
Yes.
And went to Vaikuntha. Like that. So that's generally what seems to be what happens.
So
but you see is that they always say they merge into the body of the Lord, they get liberated. But then later, in other places, it says they went back to Godhead. So then I think in one place, I think either Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was mentioning that they, in the beginning, if they're demons, then they merge into the Lord. Then in that condition, that liberated condition, then when they start to think of activity, they'll think of, now they're transcendental, because they're not conditioned. But they haven't taken up devotional service yet. But they'll remember the Lord and His qualities. Now they'll see it from that purified platform. So like just like the Atmaramas, when they come in contact with the Lord, they move forward into bhakti. And so then in that way, they'll move forward into bhakti and go to Vaikuntha. And then like those on the battlefield that have that kind of faith in that, they'll just straight go to Vaikuntha. But basically, it seems everybody on the battlefield, they went back to Godhead. Yes.
So the aspiration for liberation from the smadhas, what kind of liberation do they get?
The liberation they get is that, I mean, if they get anything at all, like that. Because generally speaking, Mayavadis don't really get anything. They end up in hell. You know, they end up as a rock or, you know, grass on the sidewalk, you know, like that kind of stuff. But if they get any platform of liberation, it just means that they're freed from the modes of nature. But they don't get out of Mahatattva.
Yeah.
That's the point, is that basically until you... until you enter a Vaikuntha planet, you're not, until that's the interest, you don't get out of the Mahatattva. So you're still within that. You'll merge in, you're not going to merge into Krishna, you're going to merge into the Purusha avatar.
Which means you have to take breath again. You have to take
Yes, breath. Yes. If you are killed by the Lord, they're in a different situation. Because then, remembering the Lord afterwards, then they can progress. But if you weren't killed by the Lord, you know, or like that arrangement on the battlefield of Kurukshetra or the battle of Ram and Ravana, those kind of things like that, then no, you'll have to come back like that. So it's just, they'll be back after a little bit more time. That's all. And depending upon their position, because how long, it's just like this, is how long, let's say you're outside, it's really hot, you know, you're really suffering. And you come inside and it's nice and cool, you know, so you sit down and, you know, you revel in the wonderfulness of the coolness, right? Oh, how great this is, so nice, oh, it's so hot. How long can you do that and enjoy that position? At one point, you're not hot anymore. You just become the same temperature as the room. So your attention, now you've had something to focus on. Now what do you focus on? Right? Focus on something else. Go get something to eat, or I got to do this, or oh, I've got to, you know, something. So that's what happens, is they go into Brahman, and for some time then there's aham brahmasmi, and it's so nice not being absorbed in the material world. That then they're going to come to that point where they need to do something. Because they're a living entity.
That's the soul. Cool.
That's the soul. The soul is Satchidananda. You don't be sitting in Brahman will only deal with Sat. But the problem is in there they're conscious. Right? And so then, you know, of course the Buddhists get rid of that consciousness. You just, you know, disappear. But that doesn't make much sense either, because otherwise, if you just disappear, then what's the big deal?
But the Buddhists also have to take birth.
Of course, they always take birth again. I mean, they always are saying about their next birth and this and that. But at the same time, they talk about the nirvana. It's just like it doesn't. They're not adding 2 + 2 here, right? And even if they are, they're getting 57, right? So, you know, like the sauce. And so then, yeah. So how long is that? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Right? So for some time you may be absorbed in Brahman. You know? And then you'll be back. Because for the impersonalists, they don't know the Lord. They don't know devotional service. So the only thing they know as far as activity goes is material activity. So as soon as they think of material activity, then it mentions in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Shiva's there. He's in charge of all these living entities. And so as soon as then they get that desire for activity, he again puts them back in the material world. Right? So in Shiva Loka, there, he's taking care of all this. You know, so they don't go beyond that place. So then it seems to be that there's that position of Mahakalapura, which is, it's considered, it seems that Acharyas explain it as the outer covering of Akash, no, of Pradhan, in the material, in the particular individual universe. So if that's the case, then they don't get beyond the end of Brahma's life. Right, you know, if they're still absorbed, then yes, they would be go back into Mahavishnu with that. Then they come out. Then they'll be there in the next, you know, universe. They'll be put in that position of Pradhan. But as soon as they get one activity, then again they'll be. So it may be a long time, but once you get to that platform of Brahman, how long's 10 minutes? It's still 10 minutes. Here, it's just like, let us say, the life of Lord Brahma is 3/4 of a second compared to that transcendental position. But, there's let's say just 10 minutes. So then you have what do you call it? 60 seconds, right? Times 60 minutes times 24, like that. And then take half of that again. And that would be how many lifetimes are out there, a Brahma. But the experience is 10 minutes. Just like here, you go, oh, if I go to the heavenly planets, 10,000 years. But when you get there, it's 100 years in their experience. Indra, it's 100 years in his experience. Of course, he looks good for that whole 100 years. Right? But the point is, it's still just 100 years. Brahma, it's 100 years. But people don't count. Like you hear Brahma, it's 100 years. But you only hear about, it's 71 yuga cycles for Indra and all the main demigods. But it's still, that's their 100 years. Is that because it says Brahma's day, his year, and all that, his day is 1,000 of those cycles. Right? Their whole lifetime is 71 of them. So there's 14 sets of them in one day of Brahma. Right? So, like that. But no one calculates that part. But Brahma, he lives 100 years. Because, who's trying for Brahma? Right? So they don't do it. But if you calculate, it's the same principle. For the ant, for them, it's 100 years. Even though it may take 2 weeks. In our time, it's 2 weeks. Just like our lifetime is 100 days for the demigods. So that's better than an ant. They only get 2 weeks for us. But in Brahma, it's like Asai. 100 moments, so 11 moments in a second. about 10 seconds. So it's all relative there. So that's the difficulty, is that they due to illusion, then they don't see things properly. Due to attachment, due to envy and attachment. They're attached to enjoying, they're envious of Krishna, and so they can't see things actually in their proper light. But they follow the Vedic literatures. But their application of the Vedic literatures, that's where then the difficulty comes out. Right? Because their application, it has its own particular purpose. They either want to enjoy heavenly facilities or be liberated. Like that. If they're followers of karma mimamsa, then they'll just eternally do karma. But if you do the activities of a sannyasi, that's still great piety, so that will add to your next lifetime. But they only will move in that circle. So you have some that'll be that, and some it'll be ultimately as impersonalist. So, they're nice that they're following the Vedic culture, but because they're only following the external rules, they can't fully, because they're there, the facilities that are there in the culture are there, but at the same time you have these social restrictions or these superstitions that they're better than everybody else or things like that. So, but it's not shown by the facts. Yes, that you have the hierarchy of the things, but the point is being the soul, then there's no difference there. When it comes to the transcendental, that's why they can't understand devotees. They can't understand the transcendental. Yes, they may perform the duties within that, but they're not something lower. It means a devotee is higher than a smarta, as far as the consciousness goes. But as far as the qualities of their situation and how pure they are, how nicely the rules, then that smarta may be, technically better situated in that way. But it's just a matter of time for the devotee to become similarly situated, if that's the necessity. So you have these aspects. It's because it is transcendental, That's why then it becomes very difficult to appreciate the position of Brahmins and devotees in devotional service. You know, the Lord devotees in devotional service. They can't quite catch it.
Maharaj, I was reading yesterday in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, to Sanatana Goswami towards the end, there's some very striking purports. Prabhupada talks about applying the philosophy according to time, place, and candidate.
Yes.
And Prabhupada explained that Sanatana Goswami wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas as an answer to the expectation of the time in India, which points to the smartest.
Yes.
And he established all these rules and regulations, which most of the time Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't even follow. But to the smartest, it sounds okay.
Yes. Oh, it's more than okay. Don't worry, it's more than okay. I mean, it's just like when we were doing the Bangalore installation. So they were having us do the installation because we're ISKCON and we want to do it. But at the same time, as locally to be accepted, they had the Sri Vaishnavas come in and do it. So they were doing their installation, we were doing ours. You know, and we kept out of each other's way, like that. And they had big, elaborate arrangements, huge yagshalas, all these things and things like that. But you'd see is that their facility, how they would use it was quite simple. It wasn't that elaborate. So like our kundas, our things were much more elaborate than theirs. Even though they might have had, you know, eight of them, we only had one, you know. And so, you know, because we're there and all that, then the head Brahmins, because these were all big Brahmins. They were, you know, heads from Tirupati, from Sri Rangam, from Melkote. And I think Parthasarthi also was there. They had pujaris. So these weren't just side. These were main pujaris, head pujaris, you know, the main, you know, festival pujaris, these kind of persons. Because the idea was is that it would be very much recognized. You know, same like in Vrindavan, yeah. Prabhupada did and like that. And so then at one point they asked the devotee who was, you know, organizing things for them, you know, what are they doing? You know, what do you guys do? And so he handed him, you know, in Sanskrit, the Gautamiya Tantra, like that. They looked at it, handed it back. It's way over our head. Like that. Their technicalness is constant repetition. It's formal, it's everything's very repetitive. Because it's formal, everything has to be done in that repetitive way. But for us, we don't necessarily repeat so much, but what we do in one point is more elaborate. So they do simpler many, many times. We do, in other words, each ritual is simple, but the padati is complicated because they do many, many times. In our padati, then each ritual is more complicated than theirs, but the whole overall is more simple. And so for them, that was more than they could handle. But, you know, sometimes then people get bewildered by this and they think they're doing something more, they have something more, when they actually don't. It's actually simpler. It's easier to understand because they're dealing with Vaikuntha, we're dealing with Braj. Right? They're dealing with, you know, purified goodness or like that. Special goodness, you know, oneness. Well, we're dealing with simultaneously one and difference. Much more delicate. So for us, you know, we can accommodate them, them who are very, you know, properly situated, they appreciate what we're doing. And then in between, then that's where the superstition comes up. You know, they think, oh, because we wear this tilak or wear this, then we're doing the right thing and the others are not doing like that. And so then if you're following your line, your acharya. The point is you please Krishna. How do you do that? By following your acharyas. So we wouldn't expect them to wear our tilak, but they shouldn't expect we'll wear theirs. You know, the point is we follow our acharyas, they follow theirs. That's how you go back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. And so we have full understanding. They follow their acharyas properly, they'll go back to Godhead. They may not go to where we're going because they want to go to a different place. It's just like everybody's in the bus stand, you know, and whoever has a ticket is a bona fide traveler, but they're going to different places. You know, we don't say, oh, only those who have my ticket and getting on my bus, they're going back to everybody else. No, it doesn't have that. So you don't end up with those kind of sectarian elements. Right? Like Prabhupada uses the word cult, but that sectarian, that's not appreciated. Because then it's like, you know, only we can get results. But others can get results, but it's just what results they want. Because we're looking for pure devotion. So that is there. But what kind of, what's the taste in pure devotion? That's where the differences lie. And so then it's a very delicate point, because then we could say, oh, see, we don't need it. None of the tail like that. But then they're biased that, oh, we don't need anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so you always have to be very, very careful, like we were discussing this morning. How does it please Krishna? Mm-hmm. Krishna does like this, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so like our acharyas talk about Krishna wearing the tilak, what we're wearing, this Gopi Chandan tilak. But you also see in other places where it's mentioned he's wearing that red chandan, you know, or a mask, or different things like that. But acharyas specifically describe what we're wearing. But these others are aspects that what he wears, whether he wears that in you know, connected with our pastimes or not, that these other sampradayas, that's what he's wearing, it's fine. And even if he does wear that, but we've been given this. So that's what we wear. So it makes life real, real simple. But the smart is, it's the rule. You're not following that particular rule, then there's something wrong. So they don't understand the hierarchy of the rules. Because like we said, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's not that we ignore it. We follow the essential principles that are there. And so by doing a higher rule, you accomplish the others. But it's always good. Either you're just absorbed in the holy name and devotional service, so you're not too worried about it, and that's fine. But if you're going to get technical, then we know these things. And we know how they work. Because there's a principle that you're doing, and that principle has to be followed. But the detail, this Hari Bhakti Vilas gives all variety. That's why it's from every angle. They can't find fault, because everything's been brought out. Whatever is the shastras that we're dealing with, you know, that'll give pure devotion. Like you saw this morning, they're quoting Bhaktivinoda, of course, quoting Hayashirsha Pancharatra. It's talking about the Lord and his original position and everything. So that's one of our main. So our main Pancharatra, one is Narada Pancharatra, because that's the mood. But in technical things, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says Hayashirsha. You know, who follows Hayashirsha? Like that. Some old temples follow it. A few of the senior Shris may know it. But they follow other Pancharatras. There's 108, so plenty to choose from. But we follow, because Hayashirsha is considered the original. And all the whole 108 is called Narada Pancharatra, because the knowledge was given to him, he gave it to everyone else. But different conversations, you end up with 108, because they're all conversations. And then of that, there's one called the Narada Pancharatra. Right? So if by the Vedic understanding, that's not a problem. That the overall is Narada Pancharatra, and a specific one's Narada Pancharatra. In the Western, you try to avoid that. You would either give the overall a different name, or you'd give that one Pancharatra a different name. But we don't. We're not. No hang-ups on that. And so, yes, those things are there, and everything's there nicely. And then you see what's the main principles, and you attain that. Like that. You may technically get, like if they don't get, you know, the mud from, you know, two sides of a river, from the top of the mountain, from the anthill, and, you know, and all these base of tulsi, all these things, then for their puja, for their growing of the grains, then, you know, it won't work. Like that. Because for them, if they don't get it all perfect, they get no benefit. They don't get the piety. But we're doing it in devotion, so what we can do, that's what we do. Like Ankurapan, I used to always do it before in the 80s, but I noticed no one cared, and there was always a problem. Now what do you do with them? You know, you've grown the sprouts and all that, and now what do you do? So then it always becomes a problem, because people don't want to give the time, they don't want to give the facilities and all that. So, hey, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a padati that you can do the whole thing in one morning. Or you can stretch it out over a couple of days. Hari Bhakti Vilas gives, you know, doing just the Shayan Adivas instead of all the Adivasas. So in that way, then we do what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave on one day. And then we do the Shayan Adivas on one day. and we do the Vastu Puja from the second day. We do that on the first day because they want some other, and because we have the other homas and all that, because they can't sit for many homas. So you break up the homas, and then if they want to have the, I say, Vishva Shanti Homa, you know, to please the universe, or, you know, specifically for those who are patrons and all that, then we have a third yajna just for them. You know, so they can all sit and take part and do something for the deities. And so, like that, then you accept forth the time, place, and circumstance. But that doesn't mean plain pride and circumstance is our decision. The time, place, and circumstances are the Acharya's decision. Then within that, we apply that. Because otherwise, then we'll use it, oh, well, we don't do this, we don't do that. That's not practical. Nothing's practical. You know? Except for, you know, dialing on the phone with one hand to call the pizza guy. Then other than that, there's nothing practical. You know, if you're dialing, it takes two hands, you're not very advanced. Like that. Don't worry. With practice, with time, he'll get good. So then the difficulty will come up is that we have to see is that the rules are there because they come from Krishna, but it's the rules are to carry the devotion. Otherwise, how do you express devotion? You don't just do anything, like we see with rasas. It's very specific. Like in the drama, you have to do very specific stances or movements or facial expressions or sounds, you know, to express a particular emotion. And why? That's the forms that naturally spontaneously arise from the devotees in Vrindavan. You know? When those emotions come up, those sanctuaries and all that, that's the forms that are taken. So that's documented in Shastra. It's just by reverse engineering. The idea is you're trying to get to spontaneous devotional service. We don't have any, you know, service or spontaneity, you know, and so not on the transcendental platform. And so then we try to follow what they do. But we do, but at the same time, we only do what we can do. We're not on that platform. And so therefore we do stuff like, you know, chant our japa, clean the floor, you know, take charinamrita, like that. And so, you know, it works. And so that's why we follow the acharyas. Like, so these smartas, they're following their gurus and that, but unfortunately their gurus are only taking them to piety. They can't take them back to Godhead. That's why then we say that guru is a family guru. That guru is, we won't consider bona fide. Even if they're caste Goswamis, we don't consider them bona fide. For us, you want pure devotion. They're bona fide Brahmins, like that, and they do all the different things they do. That technically is right, but you won't get pure devotion from it. That's the point. Does that make sense? These transcendental considerations are out of the ordinary Vedic scholars' jurisdiction. Most Vedic scholars are called Vedantists. These so-called followers of Vedanta philosophy consider the absolute truth to be impersonal. They also believe that a person born in a particular caste cannot change his caste until he dies and takes rebirth. Right? So the thing is it's all illusion, but this illusion's going down this way and we're going to make sure it's going in this way. So you can see it very contradictory. But these are how the modes work. So you know this is the mentality. Because it's not a new thing. It's an old thing. It's always been there. The smarta Brahmins also reject the fact that Mahaprasadam, food offered to the deity, is transcendental and materially uncontaminated. Right? Because they're also, then they get, you know, if something goes wrong, they can't eat, they can't sit with this one, they can't sit with that one, and all this and that. So it's just a matter of it's beyond their understanding. So they only know the material purity, and so they may not perceive that those aspects. And so they can't see beyond that. They can't see the transcendental. And so they can only consider it in the material. So devotees are just, you know, giving out prasad or doing this and that, that they may not be inclined because, it doesn't fit into the rules. So from their vision, they can only see material. So if we're doing things, you know, traditionally and this and that, then they're cool with that. But if we're not, just like we went into distribute prasad, we go to where the Brahmins are, do something there, you know, with the proper thing and all that. You find, get their leaders and all they want to do. And if you're from a Brahmin background, okay, you can go out and serve. If you're not, you can stand the back and just be the guy who did it. And the Brahmins will give you a little blessing, a little slight nod or something. You know, not too much. They don't want to, like that. And so you follow that. You see Haridas Thakur followed that. Rupa Sanatan followed. You know, that's the way people are thinking, and who cares? You know, it doesn't bother us. You know, they won't let Haridas Thakur in the temple, so he lives, you know, with the Lord. They don't live with the Lord. They come in and do their service and go back to their place. What do they call it? Agrahara?
Agrahara.
It means the Brahmin Agrahara. They put the place where they live. But he lives where the Lord lives. And the Lord comes to see him. Right? They have to go to where the Lord is. The Lord comes to where Haridas Thakur is. So he's doing fine. But these things won't be understood or appreciated. So what to do? It's the way it is. It's life. And so, but at least they're following. It's pious and that. It maintains the culture. But at the same time, it's because they don't see its ultimate purpose of bhakti. There'll always be some deviation. A few people will be very good at it. But most will be some deviation because of their desire to control and enjoy. Because of that, that's why they do the thing of, you know, you have to change, you know, till you take rebirth, you can't change and this and that. Because if you by chanting and all that can become a Brahmin, then that means anybody could. And then what's their position as Brahmins? That means they would have to be a Brahmin. Now it's just by birth. And even if they do rituals badly, chant the mantras badly, no one else can do it, so it's left for them. But if anybody could do it now, that's a problem for them. Right? So therefore, then they come up with these kind of social customs that have no basis. That means no real basis in reality. They're taking from Vedic points, but those Vedic points are if people are mundane. But if they're devotees, they're beyond this. So that's why you have to be understand is you study Manu, you have to study it from the perspective of the Bhagavatam. Then it will make sense to you. Otherwise, then you can end up like a smart guy. So that's why the apara vidya, unless it's seen in context of Bhagavatam, it becomes avidya. So, like that. Yeah, yes.
Some of the scholars, they say that during the Buddhism time and all, when everything went out, it was mostly the absolute monism, that philosophy started coming. So they were like Shrauta Brahmins. And then, with the advent of Adi Shankaracharya, he is the one who made the Swarthas more prominent, because he added the worship aspect. So then after that, then Ramanujacharya could come and establish the worship as the Lord is the main thing.
Oh, okay, because before that they just did yajnas and stuff.
Yeah, Shrauta Brahmins, they were not even involved in that, because from Buddhism to bring to...
I thought Shrauta meant
they say it's like the only Shruti, they base everything
on Shruti. Oh, I see, Shrauta meaning the Shruti. Okay, so it's just on studying scriptures.
And Smartha means Smritis.
Smritis. Oh,
then Panchopasana okay. comes from Smartha Brahmins. They do
the Panchopasana. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, because you still have those who are Shrauta. They don't accept anything. But then, same time as the 14 books are all arranged connected to the Veda. And so in that way they can appreciate it. Like that. Oh, okay.
So interesting. Basically, they accept both Saguna and Nirguna Brahman, but for them, Saguna Brahman is material only. They can't see the other side.
Yeah, so then you just have to take it a step further. So they know, that's what I was saying, they know the language. Because then it can be used in its proper way. You have to give the proper definition. But, you know, we're used to things, we're conditioned to things. Like we saw before, is that there were certain words that they had a certain meaning. And when, as we were going through Bhagavatam, and as you go up in the cantos, they start to use the word in a broader and broader sense. You know, it means deeper and deeper sense of bringing it closer to understanding Bhagavan. Yes. And then there serious questions and doubts would come up. You know, possibly even sometimes misgivings. That would take a little while to expand the understanding of the word. You know, and so that you could see it on its various, it's the various levels. Like that. You know. So when you can see like that, then it's appreciated. Like you see, some will say, "Oh, we worship this, you worship that, and all that." But you know, some of the big pundits, they would say, "There's no difference. We worship Sri Bhu and Nila. You worship with Vishnu, and you worship Radha and Krishna with Lalita and Vishakha." They said they're the same energies. Mm-hmm. You know? So they didn't have any problem that we're all doing the same thing. And because it's Vrindavan, therefore it has that more sweetness and these and that, so it's natural that how you follow the rules won't have the same kind of technical flavor. Yes. Like ours is technical, but it doesn't have a technical flavor. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah? No.
Yeah. The smarter Brahman, they don't have faith in that Mahaprasadam is transcendent.
No, but it's one of the pieties because it says in Manu that, Yajna Shishta and something else. So, in other words, the remnants from sacrifice and the remnants from feeding, you know, great personalities. So, if they have people that they consider. You know, senior and all that, they can take their remnants. But never anyone junior. And then sacrifice doing the yajna, worshipping the deity, if the smart is, then the worship has been involved. Mm-hmm. And so then they can accept all that. But they don't accept that it's transcendental. It's just a medium by which you can focus. It's like meditation. You know, you meditate on your nose, on a candle, on a wall. You know, you meditate through worship. So their point is still the same. They don't understand the transcendental.
But they offer the boga to some deity.
Yeah, yes. Of course. Means that's why you have the Panchopasana you mentioned. Yes. So they're either worshipping Vishnu, meaning Satyanarayan, yes. Means that the form and the mode of goodness, because they don't understand transcendental, or Shiva, or Shakti, or Surya, or Ganesh. You know, and for others, even if they're right, Ganesh is always worship. You start anything, you worship Ganesh, stuff like that.
So it means it's just following the ritual to get the power's benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing more.
That's all. But like anything, if you don't do it right, it doesn't come out. Like yes. You have a very complex recipe, you leave out a step, it doesn't work. Yes. Like I do all the things like that, then I don't put it in the oven. You know, it's not going to work. You know, the potatoes are cut perfectly thin, all the same size, they're all layered, the cream is there, everything's there, it's perfect and all that, but I didn't put it in the oven. You know, so, you know, it's that you have to have the thing, or I put everything and it's in the oven, but I didn't put salt. Right? Or I didn't put the cream, or I didn't put, you know, you can't leave anything, it has to all be there, then it's perfect. So that's the thing, because they're going for a material result. It's there, it has to be material perfection. That's why Prabhupada would say is these big Shrauta Yajnas, then you know, you have, like for Soma Yajnas, 90 Brahmins from the four Vedas. You know, so many from each, and they do different ones, and what their rituals, and the build the kunda takes you 9 months, because the priest and his wife make all the bricks, 10,000 bricks in the kunda. And they have to make them all by hand. He makes all the square ones, she makes all the triangular ones. Like that. You know, that's just how it works. And so they have to do it. On a certain day like that, you start, you have to have certain kind of dirt. Then on a certain day when they're all dry, then they're put on. So there's 5 layers. So that's why it takes you 9 months. Because then you do a layer at this time, and then you make the next bricks, then the next layer, then the next layer. It's a whole rigmarole. And that's after you've already found the place, plowed the ground, did all the different things. You know, it's a whole
got
trip.
Got the funds.
Hmm?
Got the funds.
Yes. Yeah, you have the funds. It means you have to have 3 years' stock of grains. Because you're going to give all that away in charity and use it all in the yajna. There's going to be nothing left. You don't have that, don't even bother. You know? So it's like you have to be able to do all those things. And that's why it says if somebody does an Ashrameda Yajna or like that, you know, over 100 Ashrameda Yajnas over 100 years. Because it takes a 1 year to do one of those yajnas. The yajna itself may be not so long. You know, it'll be so many days or weeks like this. But the preparation for it and all the ingredients being brought from everywhere. Right? You know, like here, we're in Bengal. Need dirt from the top of a mountain. Where's there a mountain around you? You know, so then you have to go to a place where there is a mountain. So it's a whole thing. So people will be keeping these things and getting and collecting, and it's a whole, you know.
Then you gotta clean up.
And you gotta clean up. Well, the Brahmins generally do clean up. They get all the paraphernalia is theirs. You know, because all that, it's all done with all nice paraphernalia. It has to be high-class paraphernalia, and previous ages to be all be gold and all that. All the paraphernalia belongs, the spoons, this, everything for the belongs to the Brahmins. Not that, oh, we paid for it. No, it belongs to the Brahmins. And so we see in some of these yajnas that there was so much stuff, the Brahmins could only take some part, because, you know, how many kilos can you carry? Right? And so they just left it there and walked off. Like that. And so it's just there. You know, so that's why it said then I think that's where they could go and get everything for doing the Rajasuya like that, and also Maya Dhanava. Oh, there's this one place, all these jewels are there. They did some big thing there. It's just sitting there, because how much can you take?
And others don't touch it, because it's a big sin to touch the Brahman's property.
Yeah, and so it's there. They left it there, so it stays there. So unless you're using it for some other, then that's all. You know, and that way then they get what they need, and then it stays. Others need, they can come and get and use it for. But you can't come there and take it and sell it on eBay. No. You know, you just leave it alone.
Golden spoon starting at $1,000.
Yeah.
Such a
yeah, how you say it, be it at Sotheby's? Sotheby's, and a big, what do you call it? Auction place. I think there's two big famous ones. Like that. And so then, yeah. So it's all there. So the smart is, it's all about the high. And so Prabhupada is explaining that in one of those yajnas that's going on for so long, if one syllable is wrong, the whole thing's ruined. You won't get any benefit from it. Not what you're looking for. You might get some piety for having done the different, but you won't get the benefit. Yes?
That's why they always do everything, repeat. They have to repeat everything many times. We in general don't repeat so many times.
Oh, it could be, because at least one time you get it right. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. That's why it's there.
And then each time they repeat, they focus on one aspect more, so that at least this aspect doesn't go wrong.
But also, if you have less ritual, then you repeat it. You'll get your mantras right. You'll get everything right. You know that. So yeah. So that's the whole thing. That's why the Vedic, the Shrauta is all on, it's all in the Vedic. So Shrauta means the Vedic mantras. That's why those syllables, they have to be exact. And so that's why you learn it the way they learned it, and you're always chanting it and everything like that. So Prabhupada is saying in this age you won't get Brahmins that can chant on that level. Everything is completely perfect. So you can't do those yajnas, but you don't need to in this age, because it's not the yajna. So we have the samskaras and things like that. We use the Vedic mantras that the acharyas gave us, but we're doing in devotion. So, you know, we do as good as we can, like that. And generally, you know, what we can do is as good as anybody else does. Others don't complain that we're doing wrong. Not at least outside the movement. Not those who know the philosophy like that. You know the philosophy, know the rituals, they don't complain. They're impressed. People only know the rituals might say, oh, it's not like we do, it has to be like this, that. That's the problem that comes up with smartas. So, and smartas, there's going to be levels of them and areas of them, and this group won't accept that group, and this one won't marry into that one, and it's a whole scene. Smarta Brahmas also reject the fact that Mahaprasadam, food offered to the deity, is transcendental and materially uncontaminated. Originally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was subject to all the rules and regulations of the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. Now Gopinathacharya pointed out how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been converted by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being converted, Sarvabhauma partook of prasadam with the Vaishnavas. Indeed, he sat by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. Right? So then he's able to do all these different things and appreciate the transcendental position. Because when you give up that mundane conception, then you can move forward. But because they're not... They only think that the ritual is that. If they don't see the ritual, then they're not, you know. So it's all about, you know, where you're from and that. So we get by more because being from you know, abroad and that, we get a little bit, I mean, in one sense, the smart is just anybody out is not there. But it's not that those from India also, then oh, they deal with nicely. You know, because unless you're here and there. So it's just... But for general people, non-smartists, that if you're from the West, because you don't have any specific background of caste or not, they don't ask, you're a sadhu haribol, like that. But if you're Indians, they want to know where you're from, what community, what this and that, and very rare I've seen they're impressed. But I have seen. They're like Dayaram, when they hear his background, they're all impressed, like that. You know, he's in his own category. Like that. He's from the same group as Rupa Goswami's. What do you call it? Bharadvaj Shaka.
Really?
Yeah. So when he's talking, oh, is this that? Oh, and oh, like that. They just immediately changed. I watched it on their face. Oh, this that. Oh, they just sat back and like that. And from then on, you can say whatever he wants, they'll listen. So you can use it to advantage for preaching. But with us, they never ask. They're not going to ask, what's your gotra? Like that, you know. You know, I say, gutter on the side of the road. You know, on the right side of the road. And you? Oh, I was from the left side.
Today I read that Joe Biden has got ancestry in Nagpur.
Nah.
Yeah. He did the research.
You mean of Indian descent or great, British great, who were
great,
in India?
Great great grandfather married an Indian from Nagpur.
Okay, but he was British. Yeah. And he was with East India and he met. Well, so that must have been early.
1873?
Probably 1700s.
Yes, 1700s, then the Brits who came over, they married Indian girls. And then when it was going really well, Then the English girls figured out why they should be getting everything. So then they came over. Because before that, they actually moved with the Indians more. They married with them. They'd fight with them. And like if they got one ally, if he has a problem, they go into battle with them and everything. But then once the how you say, Memsahibs from England came over, then now it's separate, and all there, the Indians are this, and we live here, and they live there, and like that. That started, but that was in like in 1800s. Okay. Like, you know, especially I think by 1830 it was quite strong. But otherwise in 1700s he didn't have that.
And they had six kids. And it's,
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It must be that earlier time when then it was cool.
So they celebrated.
Yeah, that's far out.
They've got the president with a lineage in Nagpur, and the vice president from Tamil Nadu.
Okay. Slowly, slowly, inching forward.
It's all that political stuff.
I say, what is it? You know, I say, Modi for president. Okay, I didn't know that. Is that like general and known knowledge?
Yeah, it was on the internet.
Oh, it just came up recently.
Lineage. Wow. The pictures of the family, wow. Who married who.
That's so far out.
The Bidens.
Okay. As long as he keeps good relations with India. Okay. 212, 181, 184. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied to Gopinath Acharya. Because Gopinath Acharya, because they're brother-in-law, so they goof with each other like that. You know? I was simply a less intelligent logician. Because if he says that, what can you say back? You know? But by your grace, I have received this opulence of perfection. Right? Because he was telling him about this and telling about Lord Chaitanya. Because he wasn't believing in the beginning. And then, when he did so. So it's actually sincere. But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, who is so merciful? He has converted a crow into a Garuda. Who could be so merciful? In the association of the jackals known as logicians, I simply continued to bark a resounding pew pew. Now, from the same mouth, I am chanting the holy names of Krishna and Hari. Whereas I once associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the association of devotees. Yeah, so then, like that. So the devotee has no problem for the background and they appreciate it. Like that. I've noticed for some devotees, they're comfortable. That means he's comfortable that was what he was, and now he's become this. He's not proud of his past, not trying to establish on that. Same time, he's ignoring it. That position was unfortunate, and now he's become fortunate.
And you put in a very nice word.
Yes. So he's not identifying, but at the same time as, just the facts are there. So then we understand the background. You see so many other, like also Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur, same kind of attitude. Srila Prabhupada. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the word Bahir Mukha refers to a person who is very busy tasting material enjoyment. Such a person always poses himself as an enjoyer of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being attracted by external opulence. The non-devotee always forgets his intimate relationship with Krishna. Such a person does not like the idea of becoming Krishna conscious. This is explained by Srila Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5, 30-31. Matir na Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam Aranda Gobir Vishatam Tamisram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam Natevidhu Svarta Gatim Nahi Vishnum Durasaya Ye Bahir Arta Manina Andha Yatandher Upaniyamanas Te Pisha Tantriam Urudamni Badha. Materialists who are overly attracted to the material body, material world, and material enjoyment, who cannot control their material senses, are carried to the darkest regions of material existence. Such persons cannot become Krishna conscious, either by themselves or by congregational effort. Such people do not understand that the goal of life for a human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. A human life is especially meant for this purpose, and one has to go through all kinds of penances and austerities and set aside the propensity for sense gratification. Materialists always remain blind because they are always guided by blind rascals. A materialistic person considers himself free to act as he likes. He does not know that he is rigidly controlled by the stringent laws of nature, nor does he know that he has to transmigrate from one body to another and perpetually rot in material existence. Such rascals and foolish people are lured by the prayers of their foolish leaders for sense gratification, and they cannot understand what is meant by Krishna consciousness. The material world exists outside the spiritual sky, and a foolish materialist cannot estimate the extent of this material sky. What then can he know of the spiritual sky? Materialists simply believe their imperfect senses and do not take instructions from the revealed scriptures. According to Vedic civilization, one has to see through the authority of the revealed scriptures. Shastra Chakshu. One should see everything through the medium of Vedic literature. In this way, one can distinguish between the spiritual world and material world. Those who are ignorant, those who ignore such instructions, cannot be convinced of the existence of the spiritual world. Because they have forgotten their spiritual identity, such materialists take this material world as the all in all. They are therefore called Bahirmukha. Yeah. So because they can only see, so themselves they can't get out of this cycle, nor by congregation, by their whole community. Mm-hmm. They can't, because they can't see beyond what they see. They think what they see is all in all. And they're not even seeing so much. They're only seeing how much it is to do their rituals so that they can enjoy. And they think they're free to enjoy. That's the whole point. They consider themselves. But the scriptures, as we see, you know, so many quotations, it's all talking about surrendering to Vishnu, about Vishnu being supreme, bhakti being supreme. But they can't see these things. So they actually don't know, even though they may be great scholars, they're logicians. So they only, what they can see with their, by their logic, that's all they know. And so then that they're limited. They can't see beyond. So it's sad. But you can see by the mercy of the devotees, then even somebody in such an unfortunate position can be elevated, right? You know, and these are the pious. These are, then they're pious. Yes, yes. But all this applies. You can also apply that to those who are impious. It's the same thing. But they're not following anything that is a benefit. These other ones at least are, accept the Vedas. So now they'll understand by the association of devotees in this higher form. The other one, then it's now they're just learning that there are Vedas and you should understand. They don't may not get distracted by all these things like the smartest do, but still they have to. It's an extra step. But because it's natural for the soul, there's no problem. Whatever background one's from, one can take it up. That's why then it's not understood by the smartest, because their thing is no, it's by birth. Because by birth, then you do all these things. But actually, in the Vedas, it's by qualification. So that's why it's also they have a little bit of a problem there. Is that someone qualifies as a Brahmin. Because there's examples, you know, Satyakama Javala, like that. You know him? No? Satyakama Javala, he was, as a young boy, he came to, you know, like 5 years old or whatever, he came to Gautama Rishi, and he wanted to become his disciple. And so Gautama Rishi, you know, he seemed like a nice boy and all that, you know, respectful. He says, what's your gota? And he says, I don't know, you know, like that. I'll ask my mother, you know. So then,
that's his name.
Yeah. So he went back and asked his mother. And his mother, she was a, you know, professional. Not like Leon, but he was a professional. And so her point was, I don't know your gotra because, you know, one night so many men may be there. I don't know who's your father. So then he took that knowledge, went back to Gautama, you know, the next day, and he says, I asked my mother, and she says she doesn't know, because so many men, she can't tell which one's my father. So she wouldn't know what my gotra is. So then Gautama said, by qualification, he's a Brahmin. He says, no one else would tell that truth, because they would think, oh, if I tell him this truth, then I won't get it. But he would just say, you ask what it is, this is the answer. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas would never tell. You know, they'd be worried that, you know, oh, if that, he'll think that. So like that, so you accept him as a Brahmin. So he's known like that. I'm sure they have their excuses and all that, but, you know, there's examples like this.
Can we say, because in Kaliyuga we see that there are many deviations from devotional service, many smarter Brahman personally.
Yes.
Is it the same thing in other Yuga?
Other Yugas, I'm sure that there are, but they're just less prominent.
Yes.
Everybody's always there. You know, all the different mentalities are always there. It's just that they'll be in the minority. So in Satyayuga, they'll be living out in the forest somewhere. You know, or they're on another planetary system, like the demons will be, they might be in a different, like this. But as it goes down in Kali Yuga, then you have more of a prominence. But they're always there. You know, like we see in Manu, then in an explanation of modern, it's just whatever's not Vedic. So there's always been modern. It's always there. You know, because modern means it's, what's happening today. Because that's all they have. They don't have history. They don't have a past or tradition. Like that. Modern means it's whatever's going on now. And much of the time you see, if you go back a little bit, modern, was, based on some tradition, some history, and some community lineage. But nowadays, all these barriers are being, questioned and broken down. So it's just what's going on right now is all there is. Tomorrow it could change. It doesn't have any background that it could go back to. So it's more extreme. But that's the point of modern, is just what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Even if it goes a little bit this way and that way, but it's a few hundred years. So you see those that follow, like you have in India, it's the same culture. Yes. It's the same contiguous culture from 5,000 years ago. Yes. But it's the only place. You go to Rome, they call themselves Romans, but they're not connected with that culture. They don't have the same lifestyle or values or philosophy or anything like that. It's all gone. The Greeks the same. Other than the olives, Kalamata olives, and everything else is gone. Nowadays, they're not known for being great philosophers.
Same thing with the Egyptians and the pharaohs.
Yeah, the Egyptians also. It's all gone. So that's the thing, is all these other places, or the Persians, but in India, it's still that, because there's the same value and the same cultures followed. I think they also say that, for those who are, China also, they go back with the Taoists and like that. At least they go back 2,500 years. Like that. How far back? But at least that much they can trace. So then you have that. They're the only two that are considered that have that continuity. And everything else is lost. It's just like in, I think it was in South America, one of our boys from there, he was telling about a festival that they have every year where they worship Kumbhakarna. It's all like that, because that was his place. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, there's still that ritual going on. No one knows what it's connected with. And it's just what they do. But the culture of that, because then they follow the Vedic culture, they're not exactly what you call Vedic these days. Mm-hmm. Like that. I think the strong interest in sense gratification, that's still very prominent. I like that. But otherwise, then not so. These things, they all get lost. So that's the difficulty. It's that America has lost the European things. And even that, they have their own traditions. Those are being lost. And so, therefore, modern just means what's going on now, what people value today. It's not based on Veda, it's just what they value today. So that's modern. Mm-hmm. And if it's based on the Veda, and the authority of the Veda, on Shabda, then that's eternal. Right? Smartas are dealing with the eternal, but they don't see eternal. Mm-hmm. If you say they're Sanatana, they're this, that, they'll agree with that. But they're still seeing on the material platform. If it's Sanatana, then it means it's eternal, that means it's beyond, that means like that. So all these things, Vishnu and all, it's all beyond, but they don't see that. So it's a little, it's a, yeah. 212, 185 to 194. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "From your previous birth, you have been in Krishna consciousness. Thus, you love Krishna so much that simply by your association, we are all developing Krishna consciousness. Thus, there is no one within these three worlds, save for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always so willing to increase the glories of the devotees and give them satisfaction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took all the remnants of food offered to Jagannath, such as cakes and sweet rice, and distributed them to all the other devotees, calling them individually. Sri Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu sat side by side, and when prasadam was being distributed, they engaged in a type of mock fighting. First, Advaitacharya said, "I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant, and because I am eating with him, I do not know what kind of destination is awaiting me." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life. Consequently, he does not recognize discrepancies, right? Like that, you know, he's saying this. As a matter of fact, a sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anywhere and everywhere. According to the Shastras, there is no discrepancy in a sannyasi's eating at another's house. Right, so he's pointing out that there's no fault, because now he's going to make this point of this discretion, but he first wants to point out Lord Chaitanya is not at fault, because in his position, then, you know, there's a different set of rules. According to the Shastras, but for a householder brahmana, this kind of eating is faulty. It is not proper for householders to dine with those whose previous birth, family, character, and behavior are unknown. Right? Because if you don't know, then you don't know what you're getting involved with, and they may be affected. Because they're just going through the ritual and the day-to-day life and everything like that. And so you don't want anything to throw you off of that. Because a little bit of improper place, improper mentality, it throws you off, you can't follow your regulation. But the sannyasi, because of the detachment and all that, then the power from that position, it doesn't throw them off. Mm-hmm. You know, same way for the devotees, because they're chanting and all that, it doesn't throw them off. But, you know, there's some basic etiquettes that we follow. You know, we don't just eat materialist food and all that. You know, we're offering things, so we're choosing where we eat. You know, but we'll eat in other devotees' houses. We're not worried what their background is, like that. But if we're dealing with materialists, then we have to worry about those things. Yes?
I often get this question from the devotees about the nature of prasadam. If you cook prasadam for a non-devotee and he leaves prasadam on the plate, prasadam is prasadam, it's still Krishna.
Yes.
So they say you can't touch it because it's been contaminated.
No. Prasadam can never be contaminated, but if we touch it, we'll become contaminated. That's the whole point. Prasadam will never become contaminated. But we'll become contaminated. Because our mentality is not such. Otherwise, the devotees used to be, after the Sunday feet, what was left over by the karmis, the devotee would just eat everything. You know? And so Prabhupada said, no, don't do that.
What about prasadam offered to the forefathers?
Prasadam offered to the forefathers would be offered to the forefathers. We wouldn't eat that either.
So what do you do with it?
See, it's like this. This is how it works. You're cooking the prasad. You're cooking the boga. You're offering it to Krishna. You're feeding the Vaishnavas. Yes. Right? And then at the end, you're making a plate for whoever it is that you're offering it to. You know, the departed soul. That plate gets put outside. Generally, it's put out in the forest. You know, traditionally, crows eat it. There's no crows around. You know, you don't happen to live near Calcutta. You know, then you can feed it to the cows. You know, but otherwise, you put it out in the forest and just leave it. And the crow, whoever eats it, that's how it goes. Like that, the materials. So they're devotees, then just offering the prasad and all that. But that's how it works. But that plate you don't eat. See, many times the mistake is made is they cook the prasad, offer it to Krishna, and then offer it to that devotee. Then serve everybody else. That's backwards. You're not supposed to do that at all. That's wrong. Why? One is that, you know, we're not going to take his remnants.
Yes.
That's not what the point is about. It's not about us getting his blessings. Yes. It's about him getting the benefit of having worshipped the Lord and fed all the Vaishnavas. Then he's getting, you know, like that. So in other words, the family or whoever it is, they're on his behalf running this festival for him, and then he gets that benefit. So you have to be careful there, because a lot of times that they take it like, you know, and then worship here and this and that. No, it's not like that. Because if they're taking it like that, oh, but he's Vaishnava and this and that, then why are you doing this on the 11th day? Why are you doing like this? Why, he's Vaishnava, why? Any day you could worship him. Was there another day that you worshipped him? You know, like that? You know, he's Brahma, the Brahmacharis, or one of the elder persons. Did you ever on another day ever offer him prasad and then distribute it? Did you ever do that? No. So then why is it today? Oh, no, why you're being offensive? It's Vaishnava like that. Why didn't you do it any other day? You know, it's like you have the, what is it, in the Christianity, All Saints Day. We can have the All Vaishnav Day, so then everybody put all the pictures and worship everybody and, you know, do all that. Yeah, no. No, it's that there's a thing, you're trying to benefit them. You want them to get the maximum benefit. So that you get by, you brought the Vaishnavs, then why do the Vaishnavs come to like that? No, it's that they come, there's a program, there's discussions, there's Krishna consciousness, you feed the Brahmins, feed the devotees, like that. Then at the end he gets. That's what it's supposed to be. He's like the host, yes. You know, it means like that. It means that his people then are on his behalf. So they're the host, and so then he gets that benefit. And so that plate is put somewhere else. It's not easy. Because if you eat it, then how does he eat it? Unless you want to carry it for him, and that's not good. The others are already. Because that's also been who's coming and they're eating and all that. That piety goes to the forefather. But we're doing it because it's devotees, and so if there's any difficulty anywhere, they get freed from that, and they can move forward very nicely. But for the karmis, it's very strict rituals. The most strict is on of all the rituals, it's the most strict. Worship of the forefathers. One chapter in Mana. Like that. Other things are much shorter. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Because, no, prasad, it's just like when you put the banana in the fire, it doesn't come contaminated. You know, oh, all my sins go into the banana, you know, it's just like that, it's like smoking, you know, and then I put it in, you know, everybody has to leave the room, you know. No, it's punahuti means you're offering all nice things. It has nothing to do with your karma. It's not about you. It's about your worshiping the Lord. That's why then, if those things that you can take, that's prasad. It's Vishnu's prasad. That's the discussion. So, yeah. So, you know, so many things are taken, just like was Govardhan Puja. So, you get a pile of halava, you stick Giriraj on top, do the whole puja and everything like this. But the only problem is that where does that come from? Right? You do have, when Krishna did the original Govardhan pastime, that then a form of Krishna was sitting on top of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan himself, personified, was sitting on top and saying, Aniyor, Aniyor. But he was sitting on himself. He wasn't sitting on the halava. He's just like, they made all those big piles and all that. He didn't come and sit there. He sat and ate them. Madhavendra Puri, they made huge piles of everything, but they didn't put the deity on top. You know, or we make all this edible Radhakund with all the holy places, and then you're eating Radhakund? You know, it's like, no. You know, just like we don't make shapes of cows and then, you know, cakes and that, and then eat them. You know, otherwise they make, you know, marzipan cows and this, and then they eat the cow. You know, you can do that, but we don't do that.
There is quite a lot of room for some type of speculation.
Yes, because they put different things together and come up with, you know, 2 + 2 is, you know, 108, you know. You know, so come up with all kinds of amazing stuff. So it's not necessary like that. It's about the Anakut is a mountain, but that doesn't mean it's Govardhan Mountain. Govardhan's a mountain, and the Anakut is a mountain. So you're offering the mountain to the mountain, not putting the mountain on top of the mountain. Right? Like that. So like that, you know, you end up with all kinds of forest stuff. It's not a bad thing, but it's unnecessary. So, like that. We make up all kinds of far-out stuff. You know, like water from the conch has to be thrown in the back of the head. It's like, no, nobody does that. It's just, it's thrown very, prokshana means very finely thrown. So you put some in the hand, and then it's thrown out through the fingers. They put it in their hand and chuck it right straight into your face. It's a slight difference. I say, like that. So this, because when I joined, they put it in that kind of little thing, you know, with the rose water sprinkler, like that. And so they just either they pour it in there or they put it there, and then someone else, you know. So during the Sringad prayers, when everyone is sitting down and there's the aisle in the middle, then they would take that and just go around like this and go up one side, down the other side, Hari Bowl. You know. So we develop our own padatis for things, yeah. You know, quite interesting, but very strict, you know. Like, who gets the lamp first in the morning, you know? Lamp comes off. And somebody goes to the lamp, and, you know, like that has to go to this one. And then, you know. Oh, no, it's all over the place, like that. They don't catch the ideas. No, you just start at the front and go to the back. But no, but the senior guys are at the back because they want to stand at the back.
Yes.
Offer to the senior guys at the front and then go like there. Also, is that you can go up through the group this way and back here, or you can just go like this.
Yes, yes.
You know, yes. The only problem is when you do that, then you have all the, if there's guests, you know, like that, then they're all running after the guy, you know, especially when they're zigzagging around and only this guy and that, and all the Hindus are like, kind of like, ah! You know, it's a whole, yeah. It can get very exciting.
And don't hand it over directly to the matter, just put it on the floor. They'll pick it up.
Really?
Oh, yes. I've seen that so many times.
I've seen it where they turn it around, yeah, you know, so it's kind of like...
pick it up.
Yeah, but before it was just, it went up one side and down the other, and everybody came to the lamp. Now it's like you stand there and it comes to you. But it used to be it came and then everybody, you know, came into the lamp. So you just like in the temple now. Yeah, basically you could go out, you go up once down through the middle of the men, they can come over, and then you go back down through the women, and then you're done. Because you can't go just up the middle, it's too far to come over. You could go up like that. Simple. Before Jananivas Prabhu used to do it, that's how it was done. You went over to the lamp. You know, you went forward for the water, you went over for the lamp, you made an endeavor.
Like in Jaipur, it's one of these for the distance.
Yeah, because it's not, they're not going to bring it out. You know, it's probably lost too many lamps that way.
And when he spreads the water, they just open their mouth. They all go to these.
Really?
Yeah.
That's far out. Because other places, they lean forward to get on their head. But also when they lean forward, they put the cloth so it doesn't, it covers their feet.
Yes.
So it won't, you know, because if you lean forward a little bit, then the cloth drops, and so they cover their feet. Bend your knee a little if you need to.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, those are the traditions. And then we make our own traditions.
I've seen ladies in Jaipur, Govinda Jayati, take a corner of their sari with a lamp, and then they make a knot to take it home.
Okay, that's far. Okay, yeah. I've always seen them go like this. Yeah, whatever works. That's why you have local things. They're not against the rules and against the Shastras, so they're okay. But it's not that they're a standard. Locally, they follow that, but you can't say, no, this is how it has to be done. You know, so it's just, you know.
It can depend on the kind of style according to the country in India.
Yeah, I like that. You know, or you have that one where I can't remember which temple it is. It's a big temple in India. Where the lamp, yeah, unless it's Jaipur, they come forward with the lamp and just hold it there, and everybody, goes like this. And then they go back in and put it down. But most places don't do that, you know. But or they put it out there, and then everybody just comes up. There's a plate there, and everyone comes up and that. And okay. So here's the point. But for household of Brahman, this kind of eating is faulty. It is not proper for householders to dine with those whose previous birth, family, character, and behavior are unknown. Right? Nityananda Prabhu immediately refuted Śrīla Dvaitācārya, saying, "You are a teacher of impersonal monism, and the monistic conclusion is a great hindrance to progressive, pure devotional service. One who participates in your impersonal monistic philosophy does not accept anything but the one Brahman." Right? So he just completely changes it into something else. Śrīla Prabhupāda. "The impersonal monist does not believe that God is the only object of worship and that the living entities are his eternal servants." Right? They don't see that. That they think, you know, so many can worship this, that. "According to the monist, God and the devotee may be separate in the material state, but when they are spiritually situated, there is no difference between them. This is called Advaita Siddhanta, the conclusion of the monist. Monists consider devotional service to the Lord to be material activity. Therefore, they consider such devotional activities to be the same as karma, or fruit of activity." But then that point is everything's material other than that being merged in Brahman, then that means technically anything they do is also karma.
Yes.
If they do anything, if they just sit there in one space and don't do anything, then okay, then we'll say they're just thinking, so it's just pure jnana. But if they do any activity, but they'll say, no, but the Shastras say this, we're not following karmakanda, we're following jnanakanda, like that. But the point is it's still coming from the Shastra, and if all these things are material, then it's also material. But, monists consider devotional, This monistic mistake is a great stumbling block on the road to devotional service. Actually, this discussion between Advaitacharya and Nityananda was a mock fight to serve as a great instruction for all devotees. Sri Nityananda Prabhu wanted to point out that Advaitacharya, a pure devotee, did not agree with the monistic conclusion. The conclusion of devotional service is Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shaptyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Absolute knowledge consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This conclusion is not the same as that of the monists. Śrīla Dvaitācārya was given the title of Acharya because he spread the bhakti cult, not the philosophy of monism. The true conclusion of Advaita Siddhanta, expressed at the very beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita 1.3, is not the same as the philosophy of the monists. Here, Advaita Siddhanta means Advaya Jnana, or oneness in variety. Actually, Srila Nityananda Prabhu was praising Srila Advaitacharya through friendly mock fighting. He was giving the Vaishnava conclusion in terms of the Bhagavatam's conclusive words, Vedanti Tat Tat Va Vidaha. This is also the conclusion of a mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad, Ekam Eva Dvitiyam. The devotee knows that there is oneness in diversity. The mantras of the Shastras do not support the monistic conclusions of the impersonalists, nor does Vaishnava philosophy accept impersonalism without variety. Right? So the element of the oneness but with variety, that's accepted. But they're probably always called the exclusive monism. It's just oneness, no variety. So there's oneness, no variety, and any variety is illusion.
Yes.
Right. So that it makes a lot of difficult points to properly explain, because I mean difficult points that are cannot be properly established. Yes. You know, it means speculatively by using their indirect methods they will try, but the difficulty comes up is that if they're the same, why are they different? And if they're small, why are they big? And if it's big, then why is it they're individually conscious?
Yes.
Right? If they're all part of the same, they'd all have the same, you know, they'd all be, what is it? Mr. Smith? No? He was the virus? No? Okay. Brahman is the greatest. He who includes everything, and that is oneness. Right? So he is the greatest because everything's included in him. It's all coming from him. It's all him. But there's still variety. So they'll say it's all him without variety. So they actually don't know the absolute truth. They know a touch of Brahman, but they don't actually understand Brahman is coming from Krishna. And Brahman is the basis of the whole material manifestation. They'll say it's illusion is the cause of that. No, Brahman is. But then they'll say, okay, but then if Brahman is, then Brahman is transforming. Brahman doesn't transform. And so that's a problem for them. Because if they do accept it, then Brahman transforms, and he doesn't transform. And so then the point, so that the energies are there, but the energies are also impersonal. Right? So that's the whole point, is that based on that, the energies of Brahman, therefore the material manifestation is there. So it all comes as all that variety in that is based in the Lord. So everything's within the Lord. Everything's situated within the Lord. And at the same time, he's situated outside. So that he is everything and all the variety is there that they can't accommodate. That he is everything and at the same time he's outside of everything, they can't accommodate that either. Because that means that he's a person. So they have big, big problems with this. And so then Nityananda Prabhu is, you know, settling the score. Okay. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Matav Paratanam Nanyat. There is no one superior to Krishna himself. He is the original substance because every category emanates from him. So anything that there is all comes from him. From his gland, you know, the material world is the 24 elements, but that comes from Pradhan. Pradhan comes from him. Thus, he is simultaneously one with and different from all other categories. The Lord is always engaged in a variety of spiritual activities, but the monist cannot understand spiritual variety. The conclusion is that although the powerful and the power are one and the same, within the energy of the powerful there are varieties. In those varieties there is a distinction between the different parts of one's personal self, between types of the same category, between types of different categories. In other words, there is always variety in categories. Right? So as he expands his energy, then you get all these different aspects of it. In other words, there's always variety in the categories which are understood as knowledge, the knower and the knowable. Due to the eternal existence of knowledge, the knower and the knowable, the devotees everywhere know about the eternal existence of the form, name, qualities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees never agree with the monist preaching of oneness. Unless one adheres to the conception of the knower, the knowable, and the knowledge, there's no possibility of understanding spiritual variety, nor can one taste the transcendental bliss of spiritual variety.
Maharaj, can we say that in Sat Darshan, except for Vedanta as explained in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there is no actual Siddhanta?
No, all the Vaishnava schools, it'll be actual Siddhanta.
Yeah, they will have Siddhanta, but like Mimamsa.
No. It means if you're taking it as Vaishnava Vedanta,
yeah,
then all the other six schools, yeah, then they're not complete. No.
They don't have a Siddhanta.
They don't have a proper Siddhanta. They have what they call their Siddhanta, like you said, Advaita Siddhanta. But it's their conclusion. In that way, it's their conclusion. But it's not actually the real conclusion. It's not actually tattva.
But it's not complete.
No. They may be taking an aspect of tattva. You know, it's like they're taking the logical aspect, the atomic theory aspect, the 24 element aspect, the yoga aspect of connecting with the Lord, like that, or the performance of regulated activities, like this, or understanding we're the soul and we're transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back. That's the logic.
That's
like
logic.
That. Yes. So all those six then are just portions of bhakti. So that's why we say everything's included in bhakti, because bhakti is the one, it's the source of karma, it's the source of jnana, it's the source of everything. Like that. You know, but it's just when it here it's been transformed and it takes on its distorted forms. here, but the source goes back to bhakti. So one who has faith that bhakti is the origin of everything, and so if you do things in connection with bhakti, it's complete, then they actually understand.
So is that the purpose for Jiva Goswami to write the Samhitas? To establish the actual...
To establish the actual Vaishnava philosophy, the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, because he was a preacher of Bhagavatam, so his Dasamu philosophy is then explained in the Satsandarbhas. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings that to the forefront so we understand that's actually what he's talking about. Otherwise, if he didn't talk about the Dasamu, we wouldn't know that that's what Jiva Goswami is talking about. You know, and then we wouldn't know that that's what Lord Chaitanya is talking about. So that's why then the parampara. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki.